it's I'm Sorry I Haven't a Clue, the antidote to panel games. At the piano is Colin Sell, and your chairman is Rob Brydon.
Hello and welcome to I'm Sorry I Haven't a Clue. You join us this week for a second visit to Newcastle's Theatre Royal. Place names here have pretty obvious derivations. When the Romans built Hadrian's Wall, they called the end of the wall Wall's End. When they built a new castle, it became known as Newcastle. And when they built the world's first multi-occupancy toilet, they called it Middlesbrough. To the north of the city is found Town Moor, which provides cattle grazing rights for all freemen of the city. Historically, these rights extend to Newcastle United St. James's Park, but are not actually exercised. It was thought a herd of lumbering bovine creatures gently chewing grass might upset the cattle. Cheryl Cole was born in Newcastle. She's the Girls Aloud singer and X Factor judge who's married the Chelsea and England footballer Ashley Cole. In 2009, Cole was voted World's Sexiest Woman, which was a bit of a disappointment because he was actually going for European Footballer of the Year. Let's meet the teams. On my left, Barry Pryor and Graham Garden. And on my right, Tim Brooke Taylor and Phil Jupitus. And the lady who slips her shapely legs under the desk and lays out her scorebooks before opening them to insert the team's points. Please welcome the ever delightful Samantha. Okay, we kick off today with the round called New Uxbridge English Dictionary. So, teams, let's hear some new definitions that you've spotted recently. And, Tim, you can start.
Tabby, a big church in Yorkshire. Dabby.
Phil.
Orchestral. Alternative bird of prey.
Barry.
Philander. Mr. and Mrs. Jupitus.
And Graham.
Natterjack, a telephone socket.
Insurgent, washing powder for terrorists.
La Donna e Mobile, this kebab's moving about.
Decadence, 10 times as stupid.
Hydrangea, warning from Tonto.
Chattanooga, talk about confectionery.
Ladder, like a lad, but even more so.
Superglue, a really lovely Eskimo's house.
Plank, Chinese practical joke.
Bijou, source of kosher honey.
Asphalt, constipation.
Prehensile, an island formerly occupied by chickens.
Warming, Geordie vase.
The teams are going to sing along to some discs now in the round called Pickup Song. Our ever-eager record researcher Samantha has managed to find the time to select this week's discs despite making several trips to hospital to visit the elderly archivist. he'd attempted to end it all by jumping from the top of the gramophone library building, after becoming disheartened at the ease with which Samantha lifted and climbed to collect the required discs. Apparently, he tossed himself off shortly after he saw her beaver away up a ladder. Samantha is now poised over the record desk and ready to spin the team's discs. Each should sing along to the record until, at my signal, Samantha turns the volume down. If, on the music's return, you're within a gnat's crotchet of the original teams, I'll be awarding points. And points mean mechanical devices for changing the direction of trains remotely by a system of cranks, wires and levers. What do points mean? This week's prize is just the thing to delight the budget-conscious pastry chef who wants to be absolutely sure his cakes won't stick to the tin. It's this helpful, grease-proof pauper. Barry.
Yes.
Barry, you're to start, and I'd like you to accompany Newcastle band The Animals singing House of the Rising Sun.
There is a house in New Orleans. They call the Rising Sun. And it's been the ruin of many a poor boy. And God, I know I'm one. My mother was a tailor. She sewed my new blue jeans. My father was a gambling man down in...
Your next, Tim, I'd like you to accompany Newcastle-born Jimmy Nail singing Crocodile Shoes.
I'm dear in spirits all the time. Though I have you, still she's always on my mind. The rain falls down, I'm soaking through. I'm an old man inside a young man's suit. My crocodile shoes are crying too, for they know how much love I have for you. Oh yes, so much love I have. Crocodile shoes, crocodile shoes, crocodile shoes, crocodile shoes.
Well, it's you next, Phil. Would you accompany Wall's End-born Sting singing Roxanne?
Put on the red light. Those days are over. You didn't have to sell your body to the knees. Roxanne, you didn't have to wear that dress to the knees. Walk in the streets for money. You didn't care if it's run or it's read. You're a slug. Roxanne, you didn't have to put on the red light. I'll put a new bulb in. Roxanne, you didn't have to put on the red light. Roxanne, put on the red light. Rox, is it too young?
It was as though he were in the room. Against his will. Finally, Would you, Graham, please accompany Newcastle schooled Neil Tennant of the Pet Shop Boys singing Go West, and the rest of you can join in on the togethers.
We'll leave someday
together.
Your hand in my hands
together.
We will make our plans
together.
We will fly so high
together.
Tell all our friends goodbye
together.
We will start life new
together.
This is what we'll do. Go away. Life is peaceful there.
Go west.
In the open air.
Go west.
Where the skies are blue.
Go west.
It's what we're going to do.
The teams are going to do a spot of acting for us now in the round called Sound Charades. This is based on the old TV favourite Give Us a Clue, where teams mimed the titles of songs, films, or... I know what's coming. The master of the game for many years was Lionel Blair, who wanted to win so much he would frequently be in a state of near collapse performing the title of a classic TV show. Eunice Stubbs' eyes popped out on stalks when Lionel was on his knees with the naked civil servant, trying so hard to succeed. So, Tim and Phil, you're to start, please. And your title will shortly be displayed on the laser display screen. For listeners at home, here's the mystery voice.
Deliverance. Deliverance.
You're guessing this one. You're guessing this one, Barry and Graham. Off you go, Tim and Phil.
It's one word, and it's a film, and it goes like this.
Good morning, sir. Package to sign for.
Ah, good. I've been waiting for these.
Very glad to be of service, sir.
Hang on a minute.
Is there a problem, sir?
I was expecting 2,000 termites, not these.
No. No. Terribly sorry, sir. Our company never do termites.
The end.
Well, I've had this happen to me.
Insects are involved in some way, but not termites. No.
Ants.
Yeah.
Parcel ants.
Post ants.
Delayed ants.
Late.
Deliver ants.
Yay! Ah!
Watching you do that, Graham, it's like watching Hercule Poirot toying with them while sitting next to his elderly father. It's your... Right, your turn, Barry and Graham. Your title is now being exhibited on the laser display board, and here again is the mystery voice for listeners at home.
The Wild Bunch. The Wild Bunch.
Right, you tell them, Dad.
Three words.
And it's a film. It goes like this.
Dougal.
Amos, you'll have had your tea.
Well, no, not yet. I've been too distracted by that party of London folk mincing around the glen.
Jinx, that's James Abbott McNeil Whistler. He is no better than he ought to be.
Who's that with Robbie Ross, the publisher?
That's Aubrey Beardsley, of course. Aubrey Beardsley, you wouldn't think he'd smoke a pipe, would you?
No, you would not indeed. Where's Lord Alfred Douglas?
There he is, just coming out of the post office.
Oh, yes. There's a whole gang of them up here.
There is that. You know what I'd call them?
What?
Fin de siècle?
Artists?
The end of the...
Artists?
No. Yes. What would they have in common?
They were all fin de siècle people, weren't they?
Yes. Think of some of the people who were mentioned.
Aubrey Beardsley.
Aubrey Beardsley.
Yes.
Well, that would help. And then who else? Whistler.
The main thing is...
I was given to understand this wasn't a real quiz.
Who else?
Who was coming out of the post office?
Lord Douglas.
Yes?
Yeah, Lord Douglas. The
close friend of...
Of Oscar Wilde.
The so Wild Bunch.
Yes!
The teams are going to delve into the world of real celebrities next. Okay, teams, I'm going to read to you from a selection of genuine magazine and newspaper cuttings concerning a well-known individual. However, certain words or phrases have been removed, and I'll ask the teams to guess what the missing words might be. And today's subject is Cherie Blair. Tony always says, and heaven forbid he ever disagrees with me, that I'm a...
liability.
A bolshy scouser. I'd gone to a girls' convent school where the nuns had always encouraged us to use all our...
batteries sparingly.
To use all our talents.
Ah.
It was only when I first went to the bar that I realised that I had a really big obstacle in my way. And that was...
John Prescott getting around him.
That was that I was female.
Oh.
I already had a boyfriend. In fact, I had two. David in Liverpool and John in London. After a Christmas dinner hosted by Derry Irvin, a lot of drink had been drunk and Tony was decidedly...
not that picky.
He was decidedly amorous. Eventually, Derry went home. Then Tony and I took the bus. It was a double-decker, and we went upstairs. It was completely empty, and by the time we got off...
there was room for one more on top.
We knew each other better than when we'd got on, and even better the next morning.
Oh.
So that left me with three men in my life. Tony knew about John, but not about David. John knew about David, but not about Tony. And poor David...
thought I was a scaffolder called Arthur.
Poor David imagined I was living a quiet life in dreary London. Even at that very early stage in our relationship, Tony and I would spend hours talking about God and what we were here for. I don't think it would be too strong to say that it was this that drew us together. This and the fact that he had just lost his...
spectacles.
The actual word there was mother. When Tony first went to see the Queen, instead of just brushing over her hand with his lips like you're supposed to, he stumbled and fell on...
her with a cry of, "Get your crown, love, you've pulled."
He stumbled and fell on her hand.
Oh.
At Balmoral, the first year I was there, Prince Philip saw how interested I was in the barbecue, and he very kindly...
buttered my buns and whacked a German sausage in.
What Cherie actually said was, he very kindly gave us one. And in the midst of all this, I had a fourth child, age 45. It wasn't...
a normal age for a child.
It wasn't planned, I can assure you. The first year we had stayed in Balmoral, I had been extremely disconcerted to discover that everything in my suitcase had been...
tried on by Philip.
had been unpacked. This year, out of sheer embarrassment, I had not packed my inflatable Jack Straw. I had not packed my contraceptive equipment. It was quite cold that night, and I quite like my husband. I'm afraid to say that the Queen was
not up for a threesome.
The Queen was very far from my mind. When I met up with Carol Kaplan at the gym, I said, I know it sounds odd, but do you think you could get me,
roused?
Do you think you could get me a pregnancy testing kit? She brought it round, and I just couldn't believe it. I rang Tony immediately. The test, I said. It's
just started and England are batting.
It's come up positive.
Oh.
I don't regret my friendship with Carol Kaplan. Fashion wasn't one of my main obsessions in life. I never wore makeup at all until 1994, when somebody said,
I'm so sorry, I was trying to post a letter.
When somebody said, you'd better start wearing some makeup. A charity has asked me to sum up my life in 6 words. I'm considering
what the other 5 will be.
I'm considering daughter of, mother of, wife of. And so to our next game. It is called Word for Word, and it's a word game that's all about words. And the trick here is to be careful to choose exactly the right words. For example, a senior government minister got into trouble recently when she inadvertently told an international conference that Britain's third largest city, Birmingham, stinks of urine. Birmingham is, of course, Britain's second largest city. Word for word is where each team takes it in turn to exchange a series of words which should have no possible connection. Tim and Phil, you can start exchanging your unrelated words while Barry and Graham should challenge to take over play if they detect a connection. Off you go, Tim and Phil.
Toboggan.
Bottle.
Perambulator.
Chavankney.
That's Barry.
What is euphemistically known as shove halfpenny has led to many a perambulator.
It hands over to you.
Toboggan.
Repetition.
Antagonistic.
I had an aunt called Agonistic. She had a toboggan. And she came from Canada.
You must stay in more.
That's what they all say.
Oh, I say. Oh, wow.
So is that upheld?
As Tim would probably say, no, it's not. The ball is in your court.
Sorry?
I said, the ball is in your court. It's a sporting
metaphor.
No, sorry was my word.
It's your hardest word.
Yeah. Right. Plinth.
Artichoke.
Phil.
Plinth artichoke was the monarch
of the
Peloponnesian Islands.
When?
1812.
That's to 1829.
Fair enough.
Okay, back with you, Tim and Phil.
Crowbar.
Funicular.
Eclair.
Shipwright.
Elephant's foot umbrella stand.
Graham.
The last 4 words are connected.
Very good.
They're a well-known group of words. It is meant to be one word at a time, I'd remind you.
But it's one object, you see, that's the point.
But we're not playing
objects,
are we?
No, one word.
We're playing words.
It's called words.
Who do you think you are, the chairman?
It's not. If you're going to be like that, I'll just award the round to Barry and Graham.
Jack and Stephen were better.
Oh, I say.
But they weren't as cheap. Well, it's very nearly the end of the show, but there is just time to fit in the late arrivals at the financier's ball. Samantha has to nip off now, as she's meeting her financial advisor gentleman friend, who's been looking at which of her American banking portfolio might raise her some ready cash. He couldn't recommend her Freddie Mac, but suggested her Fannie Mae. So while she's away doing that, I'll ask the teams to announce the late arrivals at a society ball for economists, financiers, and others in the world of money management. Barry, you can start.
Will you welcome all the way from China, Mr. and Mrs. Ming Slang and their son, Rai Ming Slang. He's a banker.
Tim.
Would you welcome, please, Mr. and Mrs. Estic Product and their chubby son, Dominic, better known as the Gross Dom Estic Product.
Phil.
The financially irresponsible family from Ireland, the Overdrawns.
Graham.
A big welcome, please, for Mr. and Mrs. Million Quid, whose son hasn't come with them because our firm Million Quid doesn't go very far these days.
Please welcome Mr. and Mrs. in a cardboard box now and their daughter Olive in a cardboard box.
Mr. and Mrs. could do a better job as Chancellor, and their 3-year-old son Tommy could do a better job as Chancellor.
Mr. and Mrs. Holders and their children, Sonny and Cher Holders.
Will you welcome, please, Mr. and Mrs. Bennett, the economy's in a hell of a mess. And their son, Gordon Brown.
And so, ladies and gentlemen, as the Englishman, the Irishman, and the Scotsman of time go into the pub of destiny, and the landlord of doom tells them he doesn't serve clichés, I notice it's the end of the show. So from the team, Samantha, myself, and the good people here at Newcastle, it's goodbye. Goodbye!
Barry Cryer, Graham Garden, Tim Brooke-Taylor and Phil Jupiters were being given silly things to do by Rob Brydon, with Colin Sell setting some of them to music. The programme consultant was Ian Pattinson, and the producer was John Naismith.